Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to Pulse of the Region, brought to you by the Metro Hartford Alliance. The Metro Hartford Alliance is an investor-based economic development partnership focused on business development and growth, retaining jobs, attracting talent, and promoting all the great things in our Hartford region. You can learn more about our mission and how to get involved at metrohartford.com. I'm your host, Kate Bauman, and thank you so much for joining us today. Before we kick things off, I would like to say thank you to our sponsor, Oak Hill. Oak Hill believes that people with disabilities have the right and capability to be contributing, productive members of their communities. Building from that belief, they established a full-service organization to care for, educate, and advocate for disabled people, their families, and their communities. You can learn more at oakhillct.org. Today on the show, we are getting the pulse on construction projects happening in our region. Excited to have three great guests joining me today. Today from BL Companies is we have the Director of Architecture, Ray Mulbauer. So, hi, Ray. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you.
And from Hartford Public Library, we have Chief Executive Officer, Bridget Quinn Carey. Bridget, hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. And last but certainly not least is from the Hartford Boys and Girls Club is President and CEO Sam Gray. Sam, thanks for being here.
Good morning, everyone.
As we kick things off, you know, it's always exciting to see cranes in the air and shovels going into the dirt. You know, I think construction projects really give our communities a special energy. So, there's so many projects happening right now in our region. So today we're going to hear about some of these projects and really what their impact will be on our local communities. To start off is, you know, a lot of listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with each of your organizations, but would love for each of you to provide kind of a brief overview. So, Ray, I'm going to start with you and was hoping you could provide an overview about what BL Companies does.
Sure. BL Companies is a full-service architecture and engineering firm, and we're entirely employee-owned. We're unusual in the industry because we have all services under one roof for a complete land development project. And very few firms nationally can say that. On the building side, we include architecture along with structural, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and fire protection engineering. That's all the vertical stuff. And on the engineering side, our group does all of the horizontal stuff, including engineering, civil engineering, traffic and transportation engineering, such as roads and bridges, and landscape architecture. And then we also have an environmental group that does hazardous building material investigation and remediation, environmental site assessment, and cultural and natural resources. And then finally, a survey group that does land surveying, subsurface utility engineering, GIS mapping, and building scanning and aerial imaging. So we have about 325 people in 10 states, and we work nationally and in Canada.
Fantastic. So basically, you do it all, right?
We do it all. Yep.
That's great. And Sam, can you provide an overview about your mission and your current footprint now in the Hartford region?
A little bit about the Boys and Girls Clubs of Hartford. We were founded in 1860, so this year we're celebrating 160 years of service in the greater Hartford community. We are the original and the oldest Boys and Girls Club in the nation. The club is dedicated to building values, character, and skills in young people that need to succeed in the 21st century. Our programs touch the lives of nearly one in every three children in the Hartford Public Schools, and we provide families with a convenient, safe, neighborhood-based service at three full-service clubs in Hartford, as well as four public schools based in Hartford and in Bloomfield. In Hartford alone, our dedicated staff and volunteers impact the lives of more than 8,000 kids and teens annually by providing a positive environment and a pathway to opportunities and life-changing programs focused on academic enrichment, character and leadership development, and healthy lifestyle.
That's great. Thank you so much, Sam. I think certainly, you know, all of us kind of think of the tip of the iceberg on, you know, the Boys and Girls Club. So it's great and really looking forward to kind of dive deeper today. And last but certainly not least is Bridget. You know, I think a lot of people, when they hear Hartford Public Library, think of, you know, the downtown location, but there's so much more. So hoping, can you provide us with an overview of your services and also your current location?
Absolutely. Yes, the downtown location is our flagship and certainly our largest by far. But we operate out of 7 locations through the city of Hartford. And we also have a library on wheels, so we're a mobile library in that sense as well. And we have a unique partnership with Hartford Public Schools, and we embed a school librarian at the Rawson School. We call that Boundless at Rawson. So we have a presence, you know, throughout the city. And while we are the Hartford Public Library, we serve everyone that comes through our doors. We see a number of people that visit from other communities to come see us. So it is really a regional and statewide resource that we have there at the city of Hartford. And we're so much more than books. And I think anybody that has visited any of our locations knows that we do, you know, a vast array of programming, classes, skill development, after-school programs, early learning, seniors, immigration services. So it is really a robust urban library. And we log over 800,000 visits every year into one of our locations. So it's a busy place, and it's a great resource for the city of Hartford.
Definitely. No, I think for the city and for everyone in it, I know being newer the end of last year to the Hartford region, working there, and someone told me you need to walk down there at lunchtime. I said, well, this is luxurious. So, you know, certainly a lot of, as you said, a lot more than books, and you guys are expanding. So, you know, tell us about the Park Library construction project, which is going to be in the Frog Hollow neighborhood.
Absolutely. We're really excited about this project. It is a project that's been in the works for almost 30 years. So really it's a testament to the dedication and perseverance of the community. We currently operate out of a 2,000 square foot storefront on the corner of Park and on Park Street. And the new library will be a 13,000 square foot standalone facility on the corner of Park and Broad. It'll include a large community room that we can host events and music and larger gatherings when we're allowed to gather. It'll also have a 25-seat technology lab and dedicated space for youth and a children's room as well as a separate teen section. And of course, room for adults as well. One of my favorite pieces of it is there will be an enclosed courtyard, so we will be welcoming people to use the outdoor space too when weather permits. It's really going to be a transformational thing there in that neighborhood. It's such a robust, vibrant part of our community already, and you know, adding this much more service and access to information, education, cultural resources is really something we're looking forward to bringing to that community.
Definitely. Now it's in construction now, correct?
Yes. If you drive by now, you can see the steel structure is up, so it's starting to look like a real building.
Great. And when are you guys hoping, you know, for the timeline for opening?
We're hoping that we are, soft opening by early summer 2021.
Fantastic. So, which will be here before we know it, which is great. But no, it certainly seems like such a great resource for the community. And I think, you know, definitely been creating a lot of excitement in that neighborhood. And some other projects, you know, happening around the region is, Ray, would love for you to share on what projects BL companies are currently working on.
Sure. We really focus on three primary markets, retail, commercial, and residential, which sounds like three, but they're entirely codependent, so that's one of our markets. And then public infrastructure, which is the municipal and state work we do, and then energy. But currently, we are so fortunate to be in a couple of submarkets that are somewhat recession-proof and even benefiting from the pandemic. Okay. The design of grocery stores is seeing a big surge in activity since most people are now eating at home rather than in restaurants, and they're ordering food for delivery. So that means those stores have to really change how they look and how they function. So there's lots of activity there. We're also doing value stores like dollar stores. Again, that's surging because people are very careful about how they spend their money now. And the biggest thing for us is the fulfillment market, distribution warehouses that store and ship goods, clients such as Amazon and FedEx and others. This kind of grew out of our retail focus. What used to be bricks and mortar retail is really evolving into e-commerce now. And e-commerce, you know, because of the pandemic, more people are shopping online. And the irony is that the pandemic has actually changed this market from a convenience market to an essential service and accelerated its growth by about 5 years at least. So we're designing these facilities all over North America, and I think a lot of people have seen the number of them that have been popping up all over Connecticut. So locally, we're also working with shopping center owners to help them re-envision their centers, because, again, people are seeing that some of the anchor stores are closing, becoming vacant. But that's actually creating some really exciting opportunities that can come out of this, you know, merger of online and bricks and mortar shopping and combining them with other uses like entertainment and residential and commercial uses. So right now we're currently working on the Connecticut Post Mall in Milford, and I think you'll see that with a lot of shopping centers kind of reinventing themselves.
Yeah, and what are some of the trends that you're seeing with those shopping centers, maybe here in Connecticut, but also across the country?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is mixed use. What people are realizing, what shopping center owners are realizing, is people still like to congregate, and we'll get back to that again. But it's really about creating a destination and a place to go. So there's the convenience of adding residential so that people can actually live in these centers. And then if you're going to live in those centers, obviously you need more than just shopping. So entertainment is becoming a big component. The restaurant market, once it returns again, because it's been hurt, and also just events themselves, using the open space for events such as concerts or yoga sessions. So I think you're going to see a lot of really exciting changes that morph these shopping centers from simply shopping to what they might be, which is an exciting mixed-use venue.
That's great, and certainly that's, you know, really impacting the communities, you know, surrounding these. Can you talk about a little bit about just some of the impact that you've seen maybe with the shopping centers or even some of the other projects that you guys have been working on?
Sure. Let me start with the fulfillment market, which is enormous. And so many people recently, it just saddens me to see the number of people that have lost their jobs as a result of the pandemic. But the flip side is, the pandemic has pushed the whole e-commerce market, and now these fulfillment centers are popping up all over the country, and they are hiring quite literally thousands of people and hiring them at salaries that are higher than they were before, because the increase there's an increased demand for the need for those people. So on the one hand, it's serving the people in the way of distributing the goods that they need and keeping people out of the stores. And on the flip side, it's helping the economy for those people who have been laid off and now have a place to go and find work. So, that, you know, to me, that's one of the big impacts that I'm seeing that's really helped these fulfillment centers, helping the consumers and also helping the economy. And I would say, you know, for us, we're really proud to be a part of that, because it feels like we have our hand in helping the recovery that we all want to see.
Oh, that's fantastic. And definitely, you know, really creating, I think, excitement and hope in those communities, which is fantastic. And, you know, other exciting news happening in the region is the new Boys and Girls Club of Hartford. It actually broke ground earlier in June, so which is, you know, new kind of construction and excitement in the south end of the city. So, Sam, can you tell us about the project?
So we're very excited about this project, this new Boys and Girls Club that's being built currently. It'll actually serve an additional 1,500 kids, specifically in the South End community, to give them a second home, so to speak, a safe place where they can be, can continue to grow and be productive citizens in our community. We're very fortunate to some key partners that were a part of this. When I think about the project, when I drive by and see things being moved and this transformation happening in the community, this is going to be a second home for thousands of young people.
That's great. Now, and you mentioned a lot of key partners for this project. Could you talk about some of the organizations who have really been championing it?
Absolutely. So, you know, there are probably four different areas where I have to say that have been significant in regard to our success and partnership to build this new Boys and Girls Club. So when I look at the state government, With former Governor Malloy and current Governor Lamont, they have been champions for our youth here in Hartford, I have to say. We were fortunate enough to secure some state bonding dollars that significantly impact our fundraising goals to build this new clubhouse. I would also have to say the superintendent of Hartford Public Schools, Dr. Leslie Torres Rodriguez, to have the vision to partner with an organization like the Boys and Girls Club to provide after-school services in a way that continue to help the students of Hartford do well. That was just amazing in itself. I would say another key stakeholder would be the mayor, Mayor Bronin, with the city of Hartford, has been from day one been in our corner and helping us as best as he can to make this be realized for thousands of young people. And then like, when you think about the corporate community, and I can go through a long list of key supporters, but it really started with our campaign chair, with Chris Swift, the CEO of the Hartford. And he was phenomenal, actually pulling other corporations and businesses in the greater Hartford community to support our efforts. So whether it be the Hartford, the Travelers, the Stanley Black & Decker, to UTC, now Raytheon, Bank of America, CVS, Aetna, and I can go on. But they are all a part of making this dream become a reality for thousands of young people. So it's very, very exciting.
Well, that's great, and really a team effort, which is always, you know, just exciting to see. And, you know, where is the timeline in construction, obviously, about, you know, month, 2 months into the construction, and what's your timeline in looking for completion?
Yeah, so we're looking to complete the clubhouse by the fall of 2021. So by the time of next school year, when the kids go back to school, we'll be ready to open our doors for kids in the south end of Hartford.
Okay. So next year is going to be a big year. We have the new Boys and Girls Club. We have the new Hartford Public Library location. And, you know, Bridget, you touched a little bit just on kind of the impact that this will have on the residents of that community. Even, you know, looking forward, is how will kind of the location impact even just the neighborhood on a whole, you know, kind of beyond even the residents?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there have been numerous examples across the country that show that libraries as anchor institutions in retail environments and in urban environments do serve as a catalyst for further development because it is seen as a stable presence in a community. It's something that's there for the long term. And it's also something that attracts people across age spectrums, right, and across different backgrounds. So it really is such a diverse group of people that use that it often spurs economic development either for other retail, for residential, other service providers, because it's a destination and it creates that kind of community feel in an area. So, I mean, we already have that to some extent, but because it's so small, it doesn't really have the multiplier effect that it will when it is a corner destination and the size that it will be in, and we'll be offering the programs and services that we anticipate there. Some of the things that the community has already thought about is having, you know, music programs, art programs, after-school programs. So when you start driving more traffic and more events into that location, the other opportunities for surrounding businesses and services also increase. So, as I said, you know, lots of examples around that, using libraries as anchor for future development in communities are out there. So we're looking forward to that. And, you know, it's also just so physically, you know, the architecture, the design of it, honors the building that had been there before. So it's got the same mass. I think it's been a very respectful design to stay in keeping with the feel of that community. And will also reflect what the culture of that neighborhood is and elevate those opportunities to promote and engage more, even more with the community for reading material, for music, for you know, cultural events. And it will serve as a repository for local history about immigrant groups. Part of our pledge when we when we had to take down the existing building was that we would create an archive to really honor the waves of different immigrant groups that have been and are still represented in that community. So it will also serve as a research and historical center for the community.
That's fantastic. And, you know, I'm going to ask you this, and then, you know, Sam, is, you know, how have you guys been able to get members from the community really involved in the project?
Well, you know, as I said, when I came to Harper Public Library, this was a project that was already in the works, and it had been for literally decades. And it's evolved over the years, but seeing that we could get the project started finally was huge. But I would say that there's been a very, very active community group there for many years, and the NRZ has been instrumental in that work, as well as the people that have been stalwart supporters and users of the community library. Our former branch manager, who's now in a more senior leadership position at the library, Letty Cotto, she, you know, was a business owner on that street. So, you know, there's just been so many people that have been integral to this. But we also had incredibly strong support from our state legislative representatives, from the mayor, which got this project over the finish line and let us start construction.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And Sam, you know, how have you had kind of individual engagement and activity from community members?
So I have to say I have been intricately a part of involving the community in every aspect. So when you look at where this new Boys and Girls Club is being built directly behind Burr School, working with the superintendent closely to make this happen, engaging students, parents, teachers, the leadership of Burr School, about this possible Boys and Girls Club that will be a reality. Having meetings with them was very, very crucial. The next group was with the local NRZ. So we not only went to the South End NRZ, we also went to the Maple Avenue NRZ as well, and just engaged leadership and of the NRZ to know everything as far as what we had an intention to do and as far as our impact, and hearing their voice as a part of the whole process. Of course, the city of Hartford and Mayor Bronin and his team and engaging them in regard to finding the right location where this could actually be built. And then also the local legislators. I have to say State Representative Ed Vargas, State Representative Julio Concepcion, and State Senator John Funfara were very intimately a part of this as well, as well as members of City Council, Jimmy Sanchez. Really championing this Boys and Girls Club. So it's been a lot of work. The work will continue on to still stay visible and still communicate as the construction goes on. But once the building is built, that's our commitment to the community to be involved and engaged. And so we're glad to do that.
That's great. And I think, you know, you and Bridget have touched on a couple things, too, just surrounding economic development and what these projects are going to do to, you know, really spark even more projects in these areas. And, you know, Ray, wanted to talk to you a little bit about just kind of what do you see kind of with new construction projects? What does that do for economic development? And certainly, what do you see, you know, kind of moving forward? Certainly some new trends, you know, impacting due to the pandemic. But what else are you seeing on your end?
Yeah, that's a great question. And construction definitely is an economic driver. I think we all wish we had a crystal ball at this point because we're dealing with things that we've never dealt with before. BL Companies has actually formed an internal task force to study that question. Where are we going next and what's happening? You know, the world is literally learning more about this pandemic each day. And that education is going to continue for quite some time. And as we learn more about it, that knowledge is impacting the markets every day. So it's really a moving target at this point that has varying impacts. But some of the immediate examples that I could give you, for instance, you know, I mentioned earlier the boom in e-commerce, which will likely continue to thrive at a staggering pace for probably another, you know, several years. The residential market, which was kind of quiet for a while, now, all of a sudden, there's probably the largest exodus we've seen from urban centers since the 1950s. And so the suburbs and residential markets are booming at this point. On the other hand, multi-story office space and the hospitality industry, like hotels and restaurants, They're being decimated because people really are not in a position right now to want to gather in those places. And the construction industry in general, I think one of the big questions there is the impact that the global supply chain is going to have.
Right.
Much of the stockpiled materials that, that have been accessible are now being used up. And the timing and the cost premiums on bringing more of those materials back to our shores will be an issue. So we're doing our best to be prepared to adjust to, what's happening. But honestly, we're really trying to figure that out on a day-to-day basis, like many others. And we're trying to predict the future and see where it goes. But you made the point at the beginning of this program, when you see construction happening and you see cranes on the skyline, not only does that have a great economic impact, but it just has a psychological impact that makes people feel like we're heading forward. So, we're curious to see where it goes, and we're trying to monitor that on a day-to-day basis.
That's great. And can you share on, if people want to learn more about BL companies, where's the best place for them to get more information?
First off, I want to say BL Companies is a great place to work, and we are one of the fortunate companies that are hiring, so we're really looking for architects, engineers, et cetera. And you can find out more on our website at blcompanies.com, or you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Very good. And, Bridget and Sam, we have probably about a minute or so left, but would love for each of you to touch quick on if there is any upcoming events, that you guys are hosting, and where can people go to learn more about everything we talked about today. So, Bridget, why don't I start with you?
Thanks. So we are unfortunately unable to have our in-person gala this year, but we are going to do a virtual event called Beyond Words Online.
Good.
And that is December 3rd, so save the date, and we'll have more information out soon. In the meantime, we have reopened the downtown library for limited services, so we're open from 9 to 6 in that location each day, and we're offering curbside or pickup service from the Albany Library, the Downtown Library, and the Campfield Library. So for more information, it's hplct.org.
Thank you. And Sam, a big event coming up, as you mentioned, to celebrate the 160th year of the Boys and Girls Club. Can you tell us about this event and where people can get more information?
Sure. So much like Bridget in the library, we have to move to a virtual format. So we're celebrating our 160 years of great futures on September 15th. You can find more information on our website at bgchartford.org. And you can see all of the details. So we're very excited about celebrating our youth, but we're just going to be doing it in a virtual platform. We're fortunate. We are open back up to a very limited number of youth for a summer camp experience. Normally,
great.
In the past, we would serve well over 700 kids in a summer month. Currently, because of safety and social distancing, we're serving about 130 kids between three sites. And we've been doing that for the last 3 weeks. So, our fundraiser, our largest gala that impacts and celebrates our birthday, September 15th, 2020.
Perfect. Well, I will see you virtually there. And, want to thank each of you for joining us today, and really thank you for what your organizations are doing just to positively impact our community. So thank you so much, and definitely keep us posted on each of your projects, as we'd love to continue to share information with our listeners.
Thank you. It was a great opportunity to connect.
Thank you. For more information about today's show and the Metro Hartford Alliance, please visit metrohartford.com. We'd like to say a special thank you to our sponsor, Oak Hill. And thanks to you for listening to Pulse of the Region, brought to you by the Metro Hartford Alliance. I'm Kate Bauman, encouraging you to stay positive and make today a good day.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.